Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, opinion is divided over the decision by African leaders to appoint President Robert Mugabe, Africa's third longest-serving leader, as the head of the African Union last month.
In 2014, President Mugabe began to show serious memory lapses. It's not just about what the bureaucracy does, but it is also about what he will say representing these continental bodies and subcontinental bodies like SADC.
We speak to local singer Bashupi on his journey towards becoming a household name in the local music industry.
People know me from when I was doing Kanariri Godo. Kanariri Godo.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
Today, I'm gladly joined by Annette Moyo, a med student at the University of Zimbabwe, but here in the U.S. at a Stanford program.
President Robert Mugabe, Africa's third longest-serving leader, won applause and praise last month when he stood before the African Union and accepted its chairmanship. But critics of President Mugabe, and there are many, say he is a poor choice if the continental body wants to win global respect. But other observers say he's unlikely to rock the boat. VOA Southern African reporter Anita Powell has more from Johannesburg on what Mr. Mugabe's impact may be this coming year.
His fire-tongued President Robert Mugabe may seem a strange choice to head the African Union, a continental body which strives to present a calm, collective African front to the world. After all, the 90-year-old has publicly slammed European nations, calling them colonizers and imperialists, and he's been sanctioned or banned by many Western nations for allegedly rigging elections, stifling opposition, and committing human rights abuses during his three-decade reign. While his appointment late last month raised eyebrows around the world, several African states have accepted his new post with a shrug, with South Africa's foreign minister saying this week that the nation has no qualms about the choice. Analyst Dimpo Motsamai of the Institute of Security Studies says his appointment is largely procedural, as the post rotates among leaders from Africa's four regions. Motsamai, who is based in Pretoria, notes that the job also comes with a powerful constraint. The chair must defer to the head of the AU Commission, the permanent administrative and policy engine of the AU. And she notes, it's not like it's the first time a divisive figure has headed the Union. In 2009, the post went to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, who had no luck in his quest to form a United States of Africa, or to extend his tenure as AU chair beyond the one-year limit.
If you look at the list of past chairs, in countries that may relatively be fingered as worse than Zimbabwe, or less than Mugabe, in terms of violating people's democratic rights. So in comparison to past chairs, I don't think he is all that bad.
She says he's unlikely to tussle with the commission or to blaze a trail when it comes to sticky issues like the recent trend of African leaders attempting to change the constitution to extend their term limits. But she noted he also is likely to show inertia about speaking out on abuses of democracy, as he has proven in his job as chairman of the Southern African Development Community, a post he also holds currently. But Mr. Mugabe's critics still say he's a poor choice for poster boy for African unity. Joy Mabanga is the regional coordinator for the Zimbabwean Crisis Coalition in South Africa. He says Mr. Mugabe is old and increasingly at odds with himself, posing a danger that he may say or do something that may cause an international incident.
Age is fast catching up with him. In fact, it has caught up with him. Those of you who are closer to the developments in Zimbabwe will tell you that in 2014, President Mugabe began to to show lapses, memory lapses, serious memory lapses. It's not just about what the bureaucracy does, but it is also about what he will say representing these continental bodies.
Mr. Mugabe's own words do leave that possibility open. His AU acceptance speech, a 25-minute ramble, did feature some of his signature invective, but he also ticked off the many challenges the continent faces: terrorism, the Ebola outbreak, and poor infrastructure, among others.
During my tenure as chair, I will deliberately provoke your thoughts to pay special attention to issues of infrastructure, value addition and beneficiation, agriculture, and climate change in the context of Africa's development.
But in true Mugabe fashion, he also added some spice.
African resources should belong to Africa and to no one else, except to those who invite us friends. Friends we shall have, yes, but imperialists and colonialists no more.
Mbenga says it's talk like that that could cause trouble for the continent. Mr. Mugabe's term lasts 1 year, which is sure to be an interesting one. But will it make a difference for this continent? The jury is out. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Annette Moyo, who is a med student at the University of Zimbabwe, but here in the U.S. at a Stanford program. Annette, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Katenda.
Tell me more about yourself and why you found yourself here in the U.S.
So I got this opportunity to go to Stanford and do a rotation in cardiothoracic surgery. This was facilitated by a woman surgeon who normally comes to Zimbabwe and inspires women. And she was impressed with me at some point and invited me to come to Stanford.
And how was that experience?
This was just a great experience because we don't have many surgeon women in Zimbabwe. So this was an opportunity to work with a role model whom I would not be able to have at home. But also the healthcare system here is very different from what we have at home. We are in a resource-limited country, but here there is no limitation to resource.
You spoke about resource-limited situations in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were able to fare well with your counterparts while you were here?
I'll tell you the truth. The first few days were quite rocky because I also felt uncertain of whether I would be able to measure up. But when I got the hang of it, because then I would go back home and read up. I would go back home and work hard to be able to understand the things I had been seeing throughout the day.
And looking at your return to Zimbabwe, as you said, what are some of the things that you hope to bring back in your experience?
For me, I think the major thing is to make sure that every woman student who is interested in doing surgery should understand that that opportunity is open for them. So before I left home, I was involved in founding an organization that is for the mentorship of young women at medical school who are interested in surgery. We have been able to get a couple of mentors who are male and female, and some are not even in Zimbabwe, like this doctor that I was with here. But also, you know, to push for a standard of excellence amongst our medical students and graduating doctors.
And you are obviously representing women and representing them very well for young women in Zimbabwe. What's your message to those out there who are not only are interested in medical school, but just interested in whatever path they want to follow in their life? What would you tell someone who might not be sure that things will fare well or who might be feeling insecure about their place in the world?
I would like to encourage every young person and say, whatever dream you have in your heart, believe that it's possible, because it is. Where there is a will, there's a way, like they say. For me, you know, I'll give you an example. When I finished my A-level, I didn't do so well. There were a lot of social challenges around me at the time, and I couldn't qualify for medical school. But I had already made that decision that I want to do medicine when I was informed to. I think I had to do another degree in order to qualify for medical school. I did a program that I didn't enjoy, that I didn't like, and I had to work extra hard after I completed that degree to be able to raise money to go back to medical school. And when I applied and they accepted me, I have been working extra hard to prove that I am actually material that is supposed to be at the medical school. So I'm saying to the young people, whatever dream you have, pursue it. If you have to take the long way around to get to where you want to be, take it, because it's possible. You shouldn't allow challenges and all those stop you from becoming who you are supposed to be. I come from Vilabusi. I'm actually a rural girl, and I could never have imagined myself being in the U.S., but here I am. So I'm saying to young people, open your eyes and see your opportunities and walk in. You have nothing to lose.
Truly, truly inspiring words, Annette. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts.
That was Annette Moyo, a medical student at the University of Zimbabwe here in the U.S. at Stanford, doing an externship. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Make sure you join me next time.
Thank you there, Tatenda Gumbo, for sharing that inspiring story. Hopefully all the women out there are listening. And you're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930-12080 and 15775 kilohertz frequencies. And now we catch up with music icon Baba Shupi, who tells us about his journey into becoming a household name in the music industry.
People know me from when I was doing Kanariri Godo, Godo Zorai Sanji.
Kanariri Godo, Godo Zorai Sanji.
Mati Madini, Mira Indi Kutipire Manje. Those are not the songs they know. Then I moved on to Topi Gwane Mamonya. You know what that is? Ne Mamonya. Topi Gwane Mamonya. Ketu Pekete Top Mawani. Hansi Chitu Masak Mawani. Keta Putu Newat. I'm moving on. So I put the new song again called Mapena, 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 Mapena. Tipetre Mapena. Patasikando Upa Marazano. Usaida Goro Gipa. Patasikando Upa Marazano. Kukwira gomo upoterera. Why is there? Then on top of that, remember the song I did in Soja Love, it for YouTube and everywhere. Why is it a morito?
Bandi oda, ikosi do orita wamanda.
Why is it a jikwe? Bandi oda, ikosi no orita mururu. Banda agonao, sema oko.
Uti baba chupi wakuna.
Just mention a few.
And how did you come up with this acronym, Baba Shupi?
I was doing theater music and devotion with Amakosi. So in my single way, I was also best. I ended up winning awards, best actor, best supporting actor, best play. But in all the plays, I was named Baba Shupi, working with Karanga at promotions. At that time, we went to a group we had opened with my friends, the late Mafro Chilwa and Ramzo Tlanga. So I thought, let me use the same name to market myself, which also worked, because all my friends knew that name. The whole world knows Baba Shupi now.
And what is your real name?
Peace Lobo. I'm actually in the veil, actually. You're in the veil, actually. But, you know, when you see me in Shona, people think I'm 100% Shona. I'm actually in the veil. But I learned Shona through schools and education.
How did you get into singing?
When I was young, from church, I used to sing. Then also drama, I was so much involved in theater. I wrote so many songs in theater. And I was the lead singer, you know. And even in church, I used to do a choral group and all that. And then I decided to make it commercial. Then that's when it blew.
For some young people listening out there, do you make a livelihood out of it?
Everything that you do pays. If you put your time to it and perseverance in it, you know, people think performing on stage, that's the end result of an artist or producing music. But when you become a big artist, you start getting endorsements. You know what I mean? Like last year, for the whole year, I was a Zandiri ambassador, an organization that's run by Africa, you know, working with HIV, Challenge Youth and Children. So through that, you also get a lot of funding coming in. So every day I'm saying, at pace, if you persevere into it, one, if you commit yourself into it, and take your time. Don't rush to fly like the wind, because people think you can make it fly. Because me, I also work with the big organization like UNDP, you know what I mean? I did some instrumentals for them. So if you say, at doesn't pay, but I believe it pays, well, I'm surviving through it.
We've heard you doing some collaborations with people like Stana and other artists. Who have you enjoyed doing a collaboration with the most?
Personally, all of them, because every song that I've touched is becoming a hit. The likes of Stana, SQ, PK, Clay, there's a lot that I've done with them. Even Mike Crenshaw of the US, who we did together at the Shock Arts Festival, it's working because they brought something out of me. The likes of Soulja Love, it's a great, great experience.
And you recently got married. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was my time to get married. And also the perception that people think that artists don't get married, artists don't lead by example. I lead it by an example that this is the route everyone should go and do. And it's quite a positive thing. For me, I got married with God's time, and I'm happy in my marriage. It's good to your own wife, someone who supports you, someone who loves you. You need that.
And what does the future hold for you, Baba Shupe, as an artist?
I have a great future, because from what I see is that people, what they heard in the music, it's nothing compared to what's coming. Because honestly, I'm going to release a song that will be legend. I believe Zimbabweans have never done collabs with the likes of Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, DeBanges, you know what I mean? That's what I'm targeting. I believe one way or the other in life, I am going to come across those guys. And do that, because I believe we can go for it.
That there is the music of Bashupi with Maimwana Uri Chocolate, hoping that everyone out there had a great Valentine's Day yesterday.
And this is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Opinion is divided over the decision by African leaders to appoint Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, Africa's third longest-serving leader, as the head of the African Union. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, February 15th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.